I'm Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show.
Well, hello and welcome to How Best to Develop Your Marketing Career in 2021. This is webinar number 4 in the series. We've had 3 previous webinars which have had very nicely some rave reviews and have gone down very well. So I'll briefly touch on those in just a moment, because if this is your first one of the series, then it would be great for you to play some catch up and go and have a look at the others. And if this is the 4th in the series, you'll know how this works. We are going to have a Q&A at the end of the presentation. And so if you use the chat facility, if you're watching this live right here, right now, if you're not, use any of the message threads below any of the recordings that you see of this, and we'll endeavour to get back to you later as well if you're watching this on catch-up. My name's Neil Wilkins. I'm a tutor and fellow of Cambridge Marketing College, of which this is the 4th webinar in this series, which is all about personal branding. And as a marketer, as a business developer, as a business owner, leader, entrepreneur, whatever perspective you're coming from, there's never been a better time really to be thinking conscientiously about your personal brand, and particularly how it manifests digitally. And obviously we're here today to talk about that very topic and how it actually appears on LinkedIn. So the first of the webinar series that we did was really around the whole kind of upskilling and key marketing and business skills that you need right here, right now. And one of the things that came through loud and clear in that was the whole subject of evidence, you know, evidence of where you're adding value, evidence of good stuff that you're doing, evidence of the kind of outcomes that anybody who engages with you can have. And of course, that's a really key thing going forward. It is about the customer. So we've always got to keep that in mind, and we'll be talking about that in this session. Webinar 2 was your marketing CV. So how do you kind of pull together all of the best bits and very much think about your CV as a portfolio? So something that you can use to showcase all the great stuff that you're doing, but also as a little bit of a legacy really of the journey that you're on. So very much keeping that up to date. And right here, right now in 2021, it has to be up to date, because what was relevant last year is obviously no longer that. So you need to really keep your sort of eyes on the game here and be watching out for the latest trends. And we'll talk about a few of those that are happening within LinkedIn right here, right now. Webinar 3 was marketing your personal brand and actually understanding what your personal brand is before you start, because you are, you know, part of a brand yourself, whether you like it or not, whether you conscientiously think about this and whether you choreograph a brand, you have a personal brand. So what we're doing here today is extending on that kind of creation of a personal brand last time and thinking about how that will actually manifest and how that will be perceived by others, and particularly in the very, very active social network that is right here, right now, LinkedIn. So we're going to really focus on LinkedIn. Now, why LinkedIn? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talk at the moment about, you know, businesses migrating over to TikTok and Snapchat and using a whole plethora of other platforms and social networks to ply their trade. And a lot of marketers are now testing out those social networks. But there is one place which I would personally recommend as being the starting place and potentially the hub for your personal branding professionally. And this is, of course, LinkedIn. This is a little quote that I gave in a previous session, which is that there's never been a better time for reinvigorating your online presence, both personally and for your business. And LinkedIn is this social network. It literally is buzzing with content, ideas, and engagement. That was something which has really sort of stayed true to me, and I've been spending a lot more time, as probably most of the people listening or watching this have themselves personally, over the last sort of 12 to 18 months. LinkedIn has really, really transformed from being somewhere that you have available to you just to kind of host your CV online into being something that is a great tool for marketing your organization, marketing yourself personally, for business development, for keeping in touch with family, friends, colleagues, and peers, and for really being the center of your online professional profile. So that is, in essence, really the reason why we're considering LinkedIn as being, you know, the real catch-all social network for rounding off this series, because it really is the place where you can now start to really showcase all of the stuff that you've learned in the previous three sessions. Now, it's not just me saying this. There's a lot of research out there which is saying that, you know, the right people, the people you would want to be engaging with, the people you would want to be getting on their radar of, recruiters, other businesses, other stakeholders, they're all in LinkedIn right now. And the nice thing is that they're all super active as well. And this isn't just people making lots of noise. A lot of the decision makers who you probably will want to be engaging with, both professionally for yourself, but also professionally for your business, they are very active. And in fact, they're the most active statistically within LinkedIn. 40% of businesses as well, if you're getting active in this, have actually found new business, so new customers using LinkedIn as a social network. And that is both through paid, but also really importantly, which is what we're going to focus on here today, through organic content, because this is the really big, important fuel that is actually powering LinkedIn right now. That's not to say don't advertise, but it is a really, really great place that will just need your investment of time and energy rather than necessarily investment of budget. So there's really good news on that point. And we also find that it is a great place for engaging and getting a profile or a footprint in what we might term special interest groups. Okay, so I'm going to touch on that a couple of times as we go through this, because it is quite important to really understand who you want to be engaging with. I mean, there are literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of people you could be literally one or two clicks or one or two connections away from within LinkedIn. So it is a massive ecosystem. And that has an upside, obviously, if you want to share your message loud and clear and sort of far and wide. But of course, the big challenge is there's a lot of other people doing that. So what we find is that the most effective people on LinkedIn are the ones who understand the groups and the little micro ecosystems in which they're going to be most effective. So we're going to touch on that because that's a really important point, targeting. And why LinkedIn? Well, keeping in contact. Probably half the people who are on LinkedIn right now are looking to make connections. That's not just connections with others. It is also connections with you. So it becomes part of a mixture of tools that they're using. Yes, email. Yes, the phone. Yes, business connections. But keeping in contact with people you might not have actually had connection with over some time. Also, finding business intelligence. This is not a one-way system, if you like. This is a proper, full-on business intelligence-based social network. So this is what differentiates it in quite a few ways from the likes of Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok and Instagram. This is something that actually contains a lot of big data. So big data being very, very searchable content that allows you to be using it as a reference source. So, you know, when I'm creating new campaigns or new ideas, I'll often go into LinkedIn and use the search facility to see what the latest kind of topics are, what the latest thinking is about a particular topic. So I don't generally go to Google for that. I will generally go into LinkedIn and see who is saying what, and then potentially engage with individuals who are in those conversations. So it's a great way of kind of aligning yourself with people who are talking about the kinds of topics that are relevant to you. And of course, connecting with customers. And we get a lot of an opportunity here to do deep dives, not only into our existing customers, but also into new connections and new customers. The search facility, both through people and also businesses, is quite phenomenal within LinkedIn. So use that and use the advanced search facility if you're looking to make connections. But that isn't why we're here today. We're here today to talk about your personal brand on LinkedIn. There's so many different angles we could take within LinkedIn, but today we're here to focus on why you should and can be interested within LinkedIn. Well, one of the things that's been a bit of a theme over the last couple of webinars that we've done on this series is to understand actually what it is about you that the rest of the world would want to be interested in and would want to engage with. And we've talked about a lot kind of increasing the quality, if you like, of your personal footprint digitally. And so when we come into LinkedIn, this is called your personal profile. Okay, so we're going to be looking at how to improve your personal profile in this session here today, because that is very much part of your personal brand on LinkedIn. And of course, knowing exactly who you are and why you're here and the value that you can add is a key starting point. Just jumping straight in and saying, hey, here's my CV. Hey, I'm Neil. You know, listen to me, watch me, look at me. People are going to get turned off very, very quickly. There needs to be more focus as you start this journey than just jumping in and adding to the chaos and the noise on everybody else's timeline. So knowing exactly who you are, knowing what your audience needs, knowing what you enjoy, the kinds of topics, the kinds of things that you're looking to share, knowing actually what you're good at. You could be a specialist in a particular topic or a particular sector. And so actually understanding that and getting that to the heart of the messages and the profile that you have is really important. And of course, some of this stuff you're going to get a reward for. And of course, for those of you who are on the previous session, you'll know that there is this concept of Ikigai, that lovely sweet spot in your personal profile. And this is where in LinkedIn, it becomes really, really powerful. Because if you can align the stuff that you're enjoying here with things that you're good at, with what the world needs from you, so what that LinkedIn ecosystem wants to hear from you, and actually stuff you can be rewarded for. Maybe it's freelance work, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a boosting of your career, or maybe it's a promotion. Whatever it is that you're looking to be rewarded from, by aligning these four elements, what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, with what you can be rewarded for, is a great way to focus the you within LinkedIn before you start to do those communications and those conversations. So if you need a little bit of help with that one, go and watch the previous webinar on personal branding, because we covered that in quite some detail. And if you're already on that journey, I'd certainly encourage you to have a little look at, I've got a short code here for a link to a course which I've just recently, actually between the last webinar and this one, just launched. So if you go to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/Ikigai course, that will take you to an online course where you can really get to the heart of knowing exactly who you are and why you're here. Obviously, as you can imagine, I'm very sort of passionate about this, and it really fits at the core of everything that we're talking about here in this session today. So go and check that out if you're interested in this. That's bit.ly/Ikigai course. So you've got your profile, you understood kind of what you're about and actually what you're beginning to want to share with the world. The next thing that you need to do before you even start to look at your profile and how good or what updates needed are needed to it, and we'll cover that in a minute. The next thing of these early steps that you need to do to improve your personal branding on LinkedIn is to decide where you're going to position LinkedIn in your audience's journey. Okay, so as a marketer, we all of us are kind of choreographing and using this concept of customer journey. In other words, the step-by-step process that we're taking our customers through. And LinkedIn is no different. And when it comes to your personal branding, you don't want to just be thinking of LinkedIn as the only thing that you're going to be doing. LinkedIn needs to have its own little job description. Okay, and I would suggest, at least when you start out on this journey of personal branding on LinkedIn, that you position LinkedIn in your mind and probably sort of practically and tactically in one of three positions on your customer or on your audience's journey. In other words, at the awareness phase, at the conversion phase, or at the retention phase. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you position LinkedIn at the awareness phase, what you're using it for, and of course this will help you to then understand the kind of content to push through it. If it's at the awareness phase, you're using it to help your audience to understand who you are, to give them a little bit of faith that you're worth engaging with, and to start to build their trust. Okay, so that you're a reliable source or reliable resource within LinkedIn that's worth listening to. Okay, so every time they see you on their timeline, they're thinking, oh, there's Neil again. Oh, right, now it's worth checking out. Oh, yeah, he's quite good. Actually, shares some interesting stuff. That's at the awareness phase. Okay, so this is helping them to become aware of the value that you're going to be adding to them. Or you could position LinkedIn at what we might term the conversion phase. In other words, other things happen to these particular individuals further upstream. So you might have already been in contact with them, and you're using LinkedIn as a tool, if you like, to give them the confidence to convert. Now, what do we mean by conversion? Well, that's actually to commit to you or to your business. In other words, if you're using it for business development, they're willing to sign up. They're willing to give you, a signature on the contract. They're willing to buy a product from you. So you could use LinkedIn in that phase of the customer's journey. Alternatively, and this is where a lot of people score really highly, particularly in personal branding on LinkedIn, is to think about LinkedIn at the retention phase. In other words, not worrying about going to attract new people with the content they provide or the profile that they build, but thinking of it much more about stimulating advocacy. In other words, actually using LinkedIn as a tool to keep in touch with people they're already connected with, to maintain that conversation, to stay on their radar. And that's a very different position than people who are using it to build awareness, because they want to be out there shouting to new people and getting into conversation rather than focusing on the existing connections that they've got. Okay, now I would argue, and I will consistently argue, that it's very, very difficult to have LinkedIn at all three stages concurrently. Okay, so I think the best starting point is to figure out who do I really want to talk to and at what stage in the journey of engagement with me are they? So is it existing people, or is this, do I want to use it to get hold of new people? Because that will then create a real kind of filter, if you like, for the kinds of things that you're going to put into your personal brand in terms of building your profile, but also the day-to-day content you're going to be sharing and publishing. So having made those two decisions, you know, what value am I adding? What is my personal brand? And again, might be a little bit of backtracking to kind of figure that bit out. And also the position in the customer journey. The next thing is thinking about your personal profile. Okay, so this is the first thing, the first kind of starting point, if you like, within LinkedIn, where you will begin. Every time you log in, this is kind of where you're beginning. And of course, what we're looking to do here, and I'll give you a few little examples of places to maybe refresh your own. What we need to get you to is what LinkedIn call an all-star profile status. Okay, now you'll see that when you look at the little performance dashboard, which you'll see, and it is personal to you. You won't necessarily just sort of see everybody else's, and they can't see yours, but you will see your own. You'll see the account status that LinkedIn have given you, and the all-star status doesn't necessarily mean you're absolutely amazing. It just means that you've completed all of the editable areas to create your personal profile. It's never perfect, and the reason it's never perfect is because LinkedIn want you to be publishing content as well. So this is your starting point. Your personal profile is just getting in the game, and playing the game is the content that you're going to be publishing. Okay, so because you've done your personal profile really well doesn't mean you finish. That is just the starting. That's getting on the starting blocks, and then we'll talk about how you get off the blocks and into the race in just a moment. So I want to talk about a few things here. I want to talk about things like your elevator pitch. I want to talk about your profile picture. I want to talk about how you can link to other kinds of resources and almost consider this as being a sort of a one-stop shop central hub for your personal brand. Okay, so if you don't have a website, if you're not blogging right now, if you don't have a podcast personally, then this can be the place where people will focus in to find you. Okay, so you might want to keep Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok away from this professionally, but this is your professional brand, if you like, on the internet. This is where it can live. Okay, so how is this thing going to actually look? I'm going to show you a few little screen grabs of my own, not because I'm thinking I'm amazing, not because I want to really showcase me, but just because clearly I've got access to the behind the scenes here for it. So that is the reason. That's a little caveat why I'm just showing you mine. So what we need to have, the very first thing to think about, is your profile picture. This is not good enough to just have that little silhouetted default setting that LinkedIn has at the start. Some people still do. This is something that is going to be engaging. And I always use the phrase, you know, it's called social media for a reason. The social bit means that people actually want to be looking at somebody who is a real person. So they want to see the human you. Don't come at this in disguise. Don't be wearing sunglasses. Don't be sort of, you know, in a group of people so that people can't tell which one is actually you. Be overt, be out there, okay? The other thing as well, which is important to consider, is the cover image. Now, this is one that needs to kind of reflect your personal brand and give a sort of a sense, really, of who you are And there's a fine balance to strike here between, do I look super professional, have lots of products if I'm marketing products, or do I actually give a little bit more about me as a person, the things that I like to do, the kind of the essence of the individual. Now, I would always err on the side of it is about you. We're not talking here about your business page or your company page. We're talking about you. And there is this thing about being personally professional, not personally personal, that's kind of Facebook and the like, but being personally professional. So not something that's going to have you down the pub garden, you know, drinking beer and this, that and the other, but actually having something that gives a little bit of behind the scenes as to kind of the essence of you, who you are. And you can use the cover image quite effectively to do that. Next thing I would always suggest as well is to fully complete where most people would just put in their job title. Okay, now there's a lot of characters available. And this is where you can see this on screen just under my name. So you've got Neil Wilkins there, and then you've got this area, which is your, in effect, job title. Now, I'm a big advocate here, and I've tested this out, and I know there's a lot of research here that says the different ways that people use this can be very, very effective to be found in search on LinkedIn. Okay, so that search bar that I was talking about before, it can be really, really well controlled by the kinds of content that you put in here. So I put in not just a job title, but I put in the other stuff that I want to be identified with. So the fact that I'm a podcaster, an author, a speaker, a mentor, you know, those things are things that I would put in line with the marketing that I do. And surprise, surprise, now I've just included a cheeky little hashtag there, Ikigai. Again, if there are current things that you want to showcase, you can also include them in there. And as your career progresses, don't leave this static. This is something you can keep updated. A lot of stuff that we find in terms of being well optimized for not just LinkedIn, but also Google and more broadly, is content that is regularly updated. So make sure that that is reflecting what you're up to right now. It's not necessarily a showcase of what you're doing, but it's very, very easy to find taglines and strap lines and just little kind of phrases, if you like, of things that you want to be associated with. So for me, you can see the word mindful appears 3 or 4 times in there. That is a conscious effort by me to associate myself with that word. Okay, and of course, if you know your personal brand, that is going to be quite easy to do because you'll have already come up with some phrases that will again resonate with you and will be the right kind of tone of voice as to who you are and what you're looking to be identified with. There's also a little section which is called the services section. And when you go to your own profile, you'll see these little pens. They will appear there, which allow you to edit on each of these sections. And the services area is quite important again. This is less of a showcase and more of a search engine friendly and a LinkedIn friendly sort of tagline. So I would suggest that you put in there any kind of job titles, any kind of services that you are looking to offer. So for me, I am a lot about digital marketing. I'm a lot about marketing strategy and planning, and I'm a lot about marketing consulting because that is who I am and that is what I do. So there's nothing sort of fancy or sexy in that. It is just about making it quite practical to be found. Okay, that's in the search. But you can be a little bit more fancy, if you like, with the strap lines and the job title just a little bit higher. So again, play with that, but make sure that is relevant to the brand that you've already created. And then the fun can begin. And there are two sections which I really want you to make sure that you, as you move towards this all-star status, I want to make sure that you're really optimizing and making the best use of. And this is the about section and the featured section. So the about section, there are two things to include in there in your thinking. The first thing is a little bit of storytelling. This is where your personal brand on LinkedIn mustn't be boring. It's got to be a little bit interesting, a little bit kind of curiosity building, if you like. So if you can come up with some kind of phrase or two that just might pique people's interest to make them think, that's a little bit different. I wasn't really expecting that. That's a little bit unusual, or it's a bit curious, or a little bit strange, or a little bit odd. Not so that it's completely quirky and goes off brand, but just so that it gets people thinking. One of the things that we'll talk about in just a moment is actually hooking people in. And this is a big, big challenge for all of us in this kind of chaotic sort of social environment. But what you need to do is start to think about, well, what could I do that would hopefully make people feel a little bit curious about my profile? So for me personally, my curious claim here is that I've spent 35 years as an introvert in the world's most extrovert industry. Now, people might say, introvert, are you for real? You can no way be an introvert. You speak, you go to conferences, you do podcasts, you know, you're published in this, that. You're an extrovert, but I'm so not. I am an introvert, and I will spend a lot more time discussing that with anybody who's interested. But the point is, it gets people curious. It's like, well, how can you be? And again, you've then got their interest. And also, just the sheer number of students that I've actually got worldwide, I had to add this up. This isn't just Cambridge marketing students. This is students who are on my various programs right across the world. And when I added up the number, it absolutely blew me away. I just didn't realize I actually was connected with that many studying people who are learning stuff. And so I thought, oh, better put that in. That's really quite different. And it really surprised me. So it's a little bit of gratitude there. As I did this digging and research, it was quite a big number. And then the other thing which I would encourage you to do is to really make good use of hashtags, because hashtags are one of those little fuels within LinkedIn that is kind of behind the scenes. You don't really know they're working, but they do. LinkedIn is now using hashtags within its algorithms quite significantly. So again, if you want to be found on particular topics, when we talked about thought leadership and the last webinar, one of the things I said was to try and be associated with specific hashtags. See if you can always be using them consistently, not overdoing it, but just always having them there or thereabouts in the background. So for me, it's all about the mindful living. It's all about mindful marketing, ethical marketing. And so what I do is I include these as well within the about section. Again, very searchable. They're not really getting in the way really of the key message that I've got there, but we know that statistically you will be found more and more effectively by your target audience if you include them there. So make good use of that about section. It needs to really be personalized to your personal brand. And then what you can do is have some fun with the featured section. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago about keeping your personal profile up to date. So the fact that you've, you know, created your sort of CV online, as it were, is not even at the starting gate. This is actually taking you now to the starting gate. And so the featured area is a really, really useful one to be using if you have things that you want to highlight to people. So I've got a couple of things that I'm featuring right now. One is the Ikigai course that I mentioned to you before, and the other is my podcast, which for me is my fastest growing social channel, my fastest growing sort of publishing tool. And so I'm featuring those as two kind of featured links. And you can see again, the little pen appears there. So you can edit that and think about, you know, where do I want people to go in this journey? So having engaged with your personal profile, where do I want them to go? Well, right here, right now, for me, it's one of two places. I'd love them to subscribe to the podcast, but I also want to get them to have a look and consider the course and watch some of those preview videos on it. And those are just the two calls to action. I don't necessarily want them going any further or anywhere else. That would do fine. So think about your calls to action, where you want people to go to as a result of engaging with you. And the featured section here is a really great, really simple way. You literally just put in the URL of the link that you want to put in there, and it goes and grabs the image. That's the feature image for that link, and it'll already pre-populate the content in there as well. So you can keep this up to date very, very easily and quickly. So I'd certainly recommend that you do that. And another really good way of keeping your brand profile really up to date is the use of articles. Now, most people miss this and they just think of publishing content using the status update within LinkedIn. And of course, you can do that. And that is very much like posting an Instagram post or a tweet on Twitter. But there is a higher level and a much deeper form of content which LinkedIn call articles. Okay, and what I would suggest is that every month or so, you find a topic that you can produce an article for. And an article is, if you haven't got a blog elsewhere, this is a great place to blog, because this is, again, another ecosystem that would allow you to, for free, be posting content consistently and regularly and to be found on the basis of that content. So these articles, I don't overdo it personally, but every month or so, I will just put another article in there. And again, it's very likely to align both with stuff that I'm doing. So you can see in March, it was all about the personal brand and it aligned with the previous webinar. For this month, it is about the Ikigai course. So I've got a little featured article in there as well. So you can see how I'm kind of joining together and sort of, I guess you could say, duplicating the content in various places. And I'll talk about that briefly in a minute, because this is a great way of making good use of one piece of content, making sure it's in various different places without spending a huge amount of time to create content for, you know, on a new basis each and every time. But certainly think about producing articles. And again, all these articles will go back and be part of your personal profile. So it will increase the quality, the gravitas, and the depth of the brand that you actually have. And then, of course, it is the traditional CV online within LinkedIn in your profile. And again, making sure that this is quite accurate, not only the text, but also when you take that little pen or pencil within your personal profile as you're updating it, you'll notice that there are some little link areas. And these little link areas allow you to put some rich content within each of the roles or jobs, previous roles that you've had, and allow you to give a little bit more depth, if you like, to that link. And again, for recruiters, this is hugely powerful because it shows the evidence behind the person. It shows what you've done. It shows what you've completed. For anybody looking and critiquing the people within your business, if they land on your profile, you are going to be showcasing your business in a really professional way. So you might want to put in there the company brochure. You might want to put in there some details about the latest campaign. Again, you can add just pure links, and the top two there are purely links to my website. But the two lower down on the screen there are both PDFs, which are PDFs that link to online resources. One is a PDF of a little brochure, and the other is a PDF of an image which shows a business model. And again, these are things that I'm showcasing as evidence based around those roles. So it's not complicated, it's not difficult, but it's a great investment of time. Some of this stuff is probably, you could argue, sort of one-time activity, maybe more so than certainly producing the articles, but it is good to keep these things updated. If you're doing good stuff, if you're doing good campaigns or maybe a product launch, this is another great place that provides a backlink back to your website or back to somewhere else. And again, aligns you very, very effectively and very consistently with the stories that you want to be highlighting as your hot sort of topics and key priorities. So there's a lot of content appearing here already. And this is, as we say, you know, keeping this stuff up to date and refreshed is a commitment. And I don't think of this as a cost of my time. I don't think of this as spending my time. I always feel when I'm in LinkedIn, I'm investing my time. And that's, again, slightly different mindset to lots of people. Oh, I haven't got time to do that, you'll hear a lot of people say. And I still hear a lot of people in sales, for example, say, oh, I haven't got time to do that. I've got to be out talking to customers. And I kind of look at them and think, you don't get this, do you? This is a way of talking to customers. This is an investment of time. And you can talk one to many, of course, if you're publishing content, but you can also talk one to one. Gary Vaynerchuk says, we should be producing up to 90 pieces of content every single day. Now, I put an exclamation mark after that because, you know, if you're anything like me, you look at that number and you think, there is no way I could even sort of dream of investing that amount of time to produce that. But there are some interesting and simple little ways of maybe considering, not necessarily getting up to 90 pieces of content, but certainly repurposing, and that's a key word here, repurposing things that are going on in your day, reimagining how you publish content. So maybe you're on site or maybe back in the office, a quick little photo of the office with a quote, bang, you've got a little piece of personal content helping your audience to get to know the real you. You happen to check on your timeline and you see a really interesting article on how to become a more ethical business. And you think, oh, that's really good. I must introduce that to the business. Actually, no, I'm going to share that. So sharing relevant third-party content, bang, another little piece of content. And then you are launching this new product. So you're doing this campaign or this activity. You're about to post a little advertisement. And you think, Oh, actually, I should be probably sharing this within my personal profile. Oh, actually, my personal profile's got actually more connections than our business page. Oh, well, there we go. Let's do a little overt message on there. Here's a photo of the new product, quick little strapline, link back to our website. Bang, you've just done a promote post. And then, of course, reusing each of those three little pieces of content time and again. There's a lot of research that says you can hit people seven times and they still won't have taken action. So people are not going to tire of your content. So when Gary Vee talks about 90 pieces of content every day, and if that strikes fear into you, you think, oh my goodness, my audience is just going to get fed up with me. The chances of them seeing more than two or three of those pieces of content on their timeline, because we know how fast the timeline moves forward, is very, very slight. So 90 pieces of content just gets you on the radar. It doesn't even mean you're going to be seen. So this is a challenge. We've got to be thinking quite creatively. And the rule of thirds there that I've just shared with you is just a way of keeping us thinking about all of the opportunities of content that we could share that is of value, that builds on our personal brand, that just tells the story every day, day in, day out, and gives us a chance to be seen within these social networks, of which LinkedIn is a particularly busy one. Because what we need to be doing is great storytelling. Anytime we've got something that we can tell a story for, let's think about how many times we can repurpose it. This whole thing about personal branding, you would not believe the number of times I've shared this now. I shared, you know, different formats, different iterations. I took some little screen grabs from the previous webinar. I did little sound bites. I've shared about three or four different podcasts on this topic. Not creating a new webinar, but just taking little moments from it, little different iterations of it, and putting it out within social. And that has scaled up both my personal brand, but it's also scaled up the engagement on that topic. So I do it once, but then I replicate and take little snapshots of that same piece of content and repurpose it, not just in LinkedIn, but on Facebook, on Twitter, and elsewhere. And there's a kind of a sort of a mantra which we need to be following here as we start to kind of do this duplication and this process, if you like. And it's attention. We've got to get people's attention. So we have to do this at scale. We need to be also thinking about, is this engaging? So not publishing for publishing's sake, but publishing because we think there's a chance that if somebody's attention is grabbed, they might feel that there's some kind of engagement here. They might stop and pause long enough to get some impact. So attention, engagement, and impact. Is it impactful enough? Is there enough curiosity in the thing that I'm just about to post here to make people dwell long enough to consider that, oh, if I actually engage with Neil, I might get a good outcome? So attention, engagement, impact, and outcome. And then actually, as a result of looking at all this, do I actually understand what he is about or she is about? Do I understand what this message is wanting me to do? In other words, am I getting closer to that call to action? So every time you think about publishing something, an article, updating your profile, little status update in there, think about these five different words: attention, engagement, impact, outcome, and understanding. And if you can tick the boxes of those as you quickly just kind of refer back to them, then it's worth publishing. If it falls down as content in those areas, then I would say maybe it's time to take a couple of steps back and maybe kind of rethink what you're doing. But telling great stories is a really great way to entice people here. Because a lot of people now, as we've said, are using LinkedIn to engage with customers. So yes, we can be using this from a personal perspective to go out and try and find a new job or to get that next promotion. But we're also using it because we're out there in the big wide world. This is a very public space now. We're leaving an impression of who we are. And also then, by default, who our businesses are. We're leaving this impression with our customers. So we need to be very clear on the strategy that we're taking here. And I always like to challenge people with, okay, what is your connection strategy? And again, this will depend on where you position LinkedIn in the customer journey. If your connection strategy is, yeah, I'm just welcoming followers and I'm welcoming connections just because I want to get that vanity metric of lots and lots of connections, then accept everybody. But know that accepting everybody comes with a consequence, because people will be starting to sell to you. If you've tried this out and you're willing to connect to everybody, know that there's a flip side, which is they're going to try and sell their services to you, much as you're wanting to sell your wares to them. So you could also take the premise that LinkedIn, when it very, very first launched many, many years ago, started with, which was only accept people who you'd actually be confident recommending. And again, that's an interesting one, because if you recommend people and those are the only people you'd actually be looking to connect with, then actually that is improving the quality of the connections that you have. And of course, that implies that by recommending them, you'd have to know what they were about and what they're able to provide. So again, it inspires you then and helps you to remind yourself that don't just connect for connecting's sake, but connect because you want proper connection. But again, it's your choice. This is all part of your personal brand on LinkedIn and the strategy that you're looking to take. But ultimately, it is about kind of drip feeding and keeping your status updated in a, what we might term, an interesting way. Okay, and one of the ways you can do that is be thinking about this word documenting. And some of the best practice from the most successful people right here, right now, is that they're actually documenting the journey. Okay, they're documenting their personal journey. Now, if they're a salesperson, they're documenting where they're visiting. They're documenting as far as they can the kinds of clients and the kinds of customers that they're engaging with, some of the upsides, some of the downsides, some of the challenges, some of the research that they might fall upon, some of the anecdotal evidence that this is an interesting sector to be acting in. So what they're finding is that by documenting the journey, they become hugely relevant. And there's a psychological process going on here about being current, relevant, and informed. And if your personal brand looks current because it's updated, it looks relevant because it's targeting a particular audience, and it looks informed because it's sharing high-valued stuff, then you're in the game. The relevance, of course, is what's in it for them. It's not so much just relevance of, hey, I'm talking about our sector and we're all in this sector. It's about what can they do with the content that you're sharing. So your personal brand in LinkedIn needs to make sure that it's consistently sharing stuff that they can share too. So always have at the back of your mind, everything that you publish needs to have some kind of advocacy element to it. In other words, Can it be shareable? Can it be passed on? Because that is the scalability of really, really effective brands within LinkedIn. And of course, what is your customer? What is your connection want to hear? Well, they want to hear about outcomes for them. In other words, if they're going to engage with you, if they're going to take you seriously, if they're going to look out for you on their timeline, their life needs to be improved by the engagement with you. And of course, if that doesn't actually happen, then you're not adding the kind of value they're expecting and wanting and needing. So always at the back of your mind, when you're sharing content, be thinking, am I improving the ecosystem that is LinkedIn? Am I contributing to my personal brand here? Is it adding value to this kind of thought leadership and the topics that I want to be associated with? And am I helping others to get great value? And if you can tick all of those boxes, then you stand a chance of both getting the attention, but also getting the engagement that you're also looking for. So there's a really important balance to be achieving, if you like. So to stay on your customer's radar, what should you really be doing? Well, you need to be looking and listening before speaking. Setting up your own personal profile and thinking that you're in the game is only at the starting line. Start by looking and listening. Figure out what those key topics are that are trending, that people are talking about, and that there's lots of stimulating debate on, and get involved by listening first, and then start to add value. Be positive and thought-provoking with what you do. It's fine to be a little bit controversial, but don't put a full stop at the end of your content, put a question mark. That's always the get out of jail free card. If you put a question mark, you've asked a question. If you put a full stop, you've assumed that that's a statement people are going to accept. And by putting a question mark at the end of your content, again, this is a lovely way of enhancing your personal brand, because it shows that you're open to a conversation. Always finish your content and your status updates and your articles with a question mark. It simply works. Share your technical expertise as well. You will have skills and knowledge and experience that others can benefit from. So even if you're in a very junior role right now, you'll be doing stuff that others possibly don't understand. So share what it is that, you know, excites you. Share what it is that you're good at. And remember that Ikigai thing. It really does, you know, it really does add value. And of course, be a source of great unbiased objective intelligence. If you in your travels are uncovering stuff, if you're doing a course and you can share some new model, if you're doing some research and you can actually share something that other people can consume, it really starts to add value to their world. Yes, you can do the overt sell. Yes, you can get to, you know, sort of share your own personal stuff as well. But do share objective intelligence. People love it. People will always listen to you if you do that. And remember to maintain consistently your elevator pitch. This is so, so important. Understanding who you are, what you're about, and the value that you bring. For me, I've got a very clear one, and I hope, you know, if you're seeing me online, I hope that you'll see that that is a consistent thing. And if not, please challenge me. You know, none of us are perfect. We're all on a journey together in this. But figure out what it is that you want to be sharing. Take the time to do it. Enjoy that journey of uncovering what it is that your personal brand is. And then you can, as you've seen, use LinkedIn as a really great hub, a really great platform to start sharing that message consistently. And as you go through doing this, it is about measuring and continuously improving all the little nuances and little changes and little things that you test out. It isn't about the number of connections you have. It isn't about the number of followers. LinkedIn as a platform will only give you so much data. It'll show you who's looked at your profile. It'll show you how many followers and connections you have. But you probably want to find out a little bit more. So get onto an aggregator, something like Social Report or Sprout Social, or as I use, Hootsuite, to just delve that a little bit more deeply. What happened to that article? Where was it shared? What kind of engagement did it have? That status update I did last week, how's it now doing? Use these platforms to measure and continuously improve what you do. You will never get this right 100%, but if we can all consistently try and improve what we do, step by step, post by post, you know, thread by thread, right down to that level of detail, then we stand a chance of really, really owning this personal brand that we're looking to create. And it is an ongoing journey. You know, what we're covering here in just 45 minutes is a very, very short tour through LinkedIn in terms of what you can actually do. But what we're doing is we are making sure that we are sort of doing this on an ongoing basis with you. I'm sure a number of you will have some questions that you want to put into the chat here at the end of this webinar presentation. But keep in touch with us, because once you start building your personal profile or adding to the one that you've already got, or once you start putting content in and testing it out, we will keep in touch with you through the Cambridge Marketing podcast and through mine, Neil Wilkins podcast, and connect with me. And if you search Neil Wilkins X on LinkedIn or in Google, you'll find me. Let's connect. Let's keep in touch so that we can share sort of, you know, in both directions, good experience and good examples of where we've actually found stuff that works. Because in many ways, we are all in this together. We're all learning. This is not a single time activity. This is not something you do and think you've cracked it forever. The algorithms are constantly changing. New features are constantly coming online. So keep in touch with us and let's do this together, because this is an exciting journey. And this is something that we can all do and really start adding value with our personal brands on LinkedIn. And that's all I want to cover with you this afternoon on this session. And if you do have any questions at all that you'd like to raise, or anything that's kind of slightly you're curious about, use the chat facility if you're on the session live here right now. And Lauren will come on and will hopefully ask some of the questions that have been raised. And if you're watching this on catch up, feel free to add any questions to the message thread area below this particular recording. And again, we'll endeavor to come back to you on that as well, if we haven't already connected with you. And of course, you can direct message us, direct message me at any point in time that you like.
Thanks, Neil. I'm just giving people a couple of minutes. We've got a few questions in, but I just wanted to sort of just wait a second and just see if anyone has any more questions. I might as well start with the first one. So I've got two questions actually on the same thing. Two of our attendees are wanting to know where they can find the services section on their LinkedIn profiles.
Okay, so when you go to your main sort of editing ability, when you logged in as you within LinkedIn, you will go to your personal profile. And as you start to complete the name, obviously, which hopefully will already be there, and your job title, you will see that it will begin to uncover, if you like, new and additional areas. So the more that you complete, the more they will release to you. The services area is one when you get closer to the all-star profile. So you'll need to have put in the about section. You'll need to put some content in there. You'll need to put, I think, at least one featured link or featured piece of content in. And then as you do that, you'll see these others will materialize as well. Other things which will appear, which I haven't covered today, which again, for some of you might also be of interest, are the areas like volunteering. So if you do stuff outside of work, and again, if it is part of your personal brand and you think, oh, actually, it would be quite useful to be sharing that as well, you can put in some of the maybe charity work or volunteering work that you do. So begin at the standard stuff within your LinkedIn profile, and it will start to reveal more abilities to be sharing, and things like recommendations and some of those kind of endorsement areas as well will start to appear in front of you. The more you put in, the more stuff LinkedIn will open up for you.
Okay, and the next question we have is, can you recommend software for measuring engagement?
Yeah, that's a really good one. There's a lot of stuff about that there really is. And I think, as I said, when we just covered on that that particular sort of measurement slide, it is quite limited what you actually get from within. I'm not just talking about LinkedIn here. All of the social media platforms are a little bit limited. Certainly one that I find sort of very, very good, and if you, particularly if you want to kind of link this with maybe your business page and other profiles as well, and then maybe combine them all together to see what your overall personal branding is looking like as a sort of a wider social media digital footprint, is Sprout Social. You do have to pay. Free trial is available. I'm not sponsored by them, so I'm giving them this shout out. But that is one that will give you some very nice sort of graphics. So if you're looking to produce a sort of like a visual kind of dashboard, or maybe a visual report for a report back into your business, or that you just want to have a nice little dashboard for yourself, then that is quite a good one. I know a lot of people are using Hootsuite, still very, very popular for publishing. It's not quite as heavily featured in terms of the reporting, but they do give you some really nice trend information, and you can put in, you can customize the time scale as well. So you could do a updating my personal brand on LinkedIn version and get the data and the stats, make all these changes that we've been talking about, start to publish some content, and then run it again and see if you can spot a nice kind of spike, hopefully, or an upturn to the graph. So those would be the two I'd probably recommend. If you want a sort of slightly lower featured free version, I would suggest going for the Hootsuite option. But if you want to then spend some money and some additional value and features, then I'd go for something like Sprout Social.
Thank you. The next question is, would you recommend using LinkedIn articles for a new blog or reposting them from another platform like Medium?
Very, very good question and very pertinent. When we talk about the word repost, we've still got to be very, very careful not to completely duplicate the content, okay? So you will be scored down by any search engine or any search medium if you are literally just copying and pasting the same article in multiple places. Okay, that was never good practice and will sort of remain that. What I would say is that if you've already got a blog, is I'm not saying necessarily that LinkedIn is a better place for it. If you're already active in Medium, I'd say Medium is a great place, particularly for thought leadership. But it might be that you've got a slightly different target audience within LinkedIn and you want to maybe fine-tune the same article. So you might want to kind of repurpose it or rewrite it or just tune it slightly differently. That could also be a very, very effective way of doing it. I think if it's you're starting out sort of brand new and you've already got some connections on LinkedIn, then it's a good fast track way of getting in front of an existing audience. Medium does imply that you're very good at optimizing your content. But I would say and suggest that probably, yeah, both if you can make the time and invest the time to serve different audiences, I'd say, yeah, go for both if you can.
Okay, the next question is, how do you combine and balance your personal profile when developing connections for your business?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And I think, you know, for me, I always have to be sort of very mindful that because I am my business is me, and I lead the message and it is all about me, 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 it's very much easier. When you're in a position of, you know, being an ambassador for your business, which is what it is, I think it's about being selective. Your LinkedIn profile is you. Whatever your organization says, unless you've contractually signed your life away to your organization, then your LinkedIn profile is you, and it will go with you if you then leave the organization. I'm not suggesting you should or do, but that is the reality. It is you. So I would say it's about a balance. I think there's still a huge, huge value in you thinking about it being your personal brand on LinkedIn, but you are also an ambassador, maybe as a part-time function here. And again, play with this, maybe talk to your line manager if you're sort of in an organization, just kind of test out how they feel about it and how they think, you know, this would work well in terms of the amount of balance. But I think it is about showcasing just great evidence. You know, you can be a really positive ambassador, showcasing stuff that maybe already is in the public domain, and you're saying, hey, here's a good example of something that we've done here as a team, or something that I did as maybe a project or a campaign. I mean, obviously make sure it is stuff that is in the public domain. You're not going to be sharing stuff that's commercially sensitive. But I think you need to kind of be thinking as an individual, what balance is right. I don't think I can give a number. For me, it's kind of 80-20. So 80% of this is for my professional brand. 20% is my personal interest and kind of stuff that I sort of tag onto the back of that. But if you're employed, you might decide it's 60-40 or maybe 20-80 or even 10-90. Where you're just happy and willing to do maybe 10% of it is kind of more about your own personal brand. But I think, yeah, to talk to people in your business as to kind of what feels appropriate, be open and honest with this, but do know that this is your personal brand. This is you. It's you personally, unless, of course, contractually you're signed away and that you can't. And I do, and I have seen examples of companies who have tied their people down so much that they can't take their personal account with them when they leave the business. I'm not going to get onto that particular topic, but I think you can probably tell by my tone of voice what I think about that. So I think it is about just being honest and open with the business that you work for.
Next question is, my status is redundant due to COVID. Is it okay to add this on the profile section of LinkedIn?
Yeah, very timely question. I think certainly if you're furloughed, there is a real sensitivity about obviously what you can and can't do within your organization. And again, you would need to check with your line manager and or HR department to make sure that you are totally watertight with this. Having said that, if you are using this and updating it from a personal perspective and maybe sharing broader content that doesn't reflect actually your current job, then you should be fine to make any kind of changes. I think in terms of the current status, it is definitely worth checking with your organization. If in doubt, do that. But if you've been given a remit that says, you know, you can or can't, then I think definitely put that on the current status. You can still be active, even though it might be the job title in effect might be on hold. You can still be contributing within LinkedIn, and you can still be, you know, adding to message threads and publishing content and writing articles and doing all the stuff that we've been talking about. But just tread very carefully if the word furlough is in your conversation right now, because that is a sensitive one. And again, you don't want to be you know, misinterpreting what that actually means as far as your business is concerned.
Is it better to link to a professional website than the business's social media profiles, or can you link to the website and all of the social media platforms altogether?
So good question. I would say really thinking carefully. It was the slide that I talked about, the customer journey. Just because you've got lots of pages on your website and just because you've got lots of other social networks doesn't necessarily mean that you should be linking to them or highlighting them. It's about the journey. I would say with somebody coming to your profile, what do you want them to do next as a result of seeing your profile or reading your article? I think be just super clear about the next step in their journey. Don't give them too many choices. You know, when we start to look at customer journeys, this is something that comes through loud and clear, and it's always a challenge. Is that just because you can doesn't mean you should. So I think be just very careful as to where you're signposting them next. And you can change this. You know, if you're currently running a campaign, you might want to send them to a landing page. If this is just a business as usual week or month, you might decide actually we're going to push them towards the LinkedIn business page because we want them to see the kind of portfolio of products and services we offer, and that is the next step in their journey. So think about where your personal profile is in your customer's journey and what you'd like them to do next. And ideally, wherever you can, give them a very small number, even just one choice of call to action. So always, and you can change that, as I say, as often as you like, but make it super simple where you want them to go next. That's why I'd left this final slide being, you've got a choice of two things, either connect with me or go and follow my podcast. So I'm just giving very simple choice. So there's a perfect example of, you know, don't give too many options.
What would you suggest to somebody who works or has interests in a few different industries, e.g. marketing, entertainment and personal development, in terms of organising their media presence / profile?
Oh, does that one fall on very open ears? It is something that I am still personally, I wouldn't say struggling with, tussling with, let's use it that, because I think I'm kind of getting there. It's going back to that ikigai. You're going to have to prioritize. And I know this so well because, you know, I've got various strings to my bows, various bows. My portfolio of stuff that I do is very varied. And I would say whoever asked this question, I can certainly sense from your question that you're facing the same thing. And you want people to kind of enjoy all of it. And I get that. I totally understand that. I think what you need to try and do is find this, again, it's the ikigai thing. It's that sweet spot in the middle. It's the priority thing you want them to get to. There might be a perfect sweet spot that actually does combine all three of those things that you've mentioned there into this one thing, and that is it. But it also can be quite disparate things that you think are actually quite unrelated. I think you're going to have to choose. I really do, because I think if you gain, it goes back to this point of the link. So if you give people too much choice, then there's confusion. And where there's confusion, people turn away because they haven't got the time or the inclination to engage with it. So that's for me where I've just hooked on to this mindful living, mindful marketing, mindful business kind of mantra. So I use those as the key hooks, if you like, and everything is kind of underpinned with that. So whatever I talk about is kind of underpinned with those things. So I think to answer directly the question is, if you can find, maybe using Ikigai, maybe you've got your own process, but if you can find a way of really honing in on how do these things join up, and if they don't, let me just select one for now, and maybe we'll evolve into the others in the future, but for now get identified for something, one thing. For me, I just use the word mindful. I'd probably end up sort of, you know, renaming myself Mindful Neil, something crazy like that, but it is this thing. I've just chosen one thing that I hook onto everything. So see if you can do that. It is a hard thing, but it's fun. Enjoy the journey and the intellectual challenge of doing it. It's not easy, but yes, that's probably the best thing to do. You're just gonna have to make the tough decision to prioritize.
Is it okay to add on my profile that I was out of work due to maternity leave and that I've been made redundant, not working for an organization anymore?
100%. I think anybody who tries to kind of hide periods of time like that, one, well, you're going to be found out. Two, it's if you were then to, for example, go for an interview, because it sounds like you might be then sort of, you know, in the job market, it's going to be spotted. You know, you're up against people here who are experts at spotting this kind of stuff. I think embrace it. I think if there were things that you did or things that you read when you're off on maternity, maybe there was a little personal development course you did online, even if it was just a day or two of stuff that you did, that can have value as well. So I think don't shy away from it. It's life. You know, people, you know, often try and sort of, you know, sweep all these kinds of things under the carpet. I think just embrace it. You know, maternity is an amazing period of somebody's life, you know, and the experiences that you had, the, you know, the way that you found out more about yourself as going through that process. Again, there might be something you could blog about. You know, there's always something that people will find curious and interesting. And, you know, I personally, I'm male, I haven't been on maternity leave, did a little bit of paternity back in the day, but not maternity leave. So actually understanding what that's truly like, there could be some blog content to do there. You see, there's always content in everything. But I think the key thing is, yeah, just be open and authentic and honest. One, because you'll be found out, and two, because it's just much better to be, yeah, sort of, yeah, living in that kind of that mindset, really.
Thank you. The last question, I can take. It's asking about the previous sessions in the series. So you can find these in the email that will come to you this afternoon. And inside of that, there is a recording of this session and then all of the others in the series as well.
So yeah, so from me, just thank you very, very much for coming along to this session. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I really enjoyed doing this series. It's been absolutely brilliant. And Lauren and I were just talking a little bit before this session and saying, because it's been so popular and we've had so much good feedback and engagement sort of from it, we're going to sort of put our heads together and produce a few more of these, maybe another series again very, very soon. So yes, no doubt, just building on Lauren's point there, we'll be in touch very, very soon about that as well.